the Bofala podcast. Hi everyone, it's Monique Gordion, and the great news is you found the podcast, a space for stories that will arouse a smile and inspire us as we tap into our collective experiences. Enjoy.
I have the pleasure, everyone, of chatting with Volker Krohn today. Now, you're German. How do you say your name? Because I know I'm saying it as an Aussie.
Well, I will say it as an Aussie as well. So it's Volker Krohn. The German is Volker Krohn. However, when I first came to England, my mum sent me over to England when I was probably 12 or 14 to summer school, and I would introduce myself as Volker, and the English would make hi, fucker.
So, oh my God. Yes, so we'll definitely focus on the Volker, huh?
Yeah, no, that's probably better. So nowadays, you know, in Australia, we make all sorts of things out of names, you know. So now I'm Vodka or Voltron or
Vodka. Vulture. Oh, we're so cruel. We're so cruel.
Well, but, you know. It's a way how Australians show love, really.
You know? It is. Like punching, I think, you know, that slapping. We slap.
Yeah, that's right, you know. So it's my wife used to tell me, so if you can have the piss taken and take the piss, you know, you're an Aussie, really. So
that's right. And your wife's Australian, right?
She's Australian. She's sixth generation Australian. So
fantastic. Mm, yeah. Now, I'm really excited to hear your story. So let's go.
Yeah, look, I wanted to talk a little bit today about my involvement with the only real, genuinely real fake Russian choir of Australia.
Genuinely real fake, I like that.
Which is, it's called the Dostoevskys, and I've joined them about, I mean, I think we've been going now almost 7 years. I came a little later. I've been doing it now for 6 years. And I always wanted to sing. However, I was a singer I'm a shower singer. So our children, particularly when I started singing in the shower, I would always get, "Shut up, Volker," you know. And my wife always said, "Yeah, Volker is a man of many talents. Singing is not one of them." So
yes, well, but you know, the acoustics in the shower are very good.
And they are fantastic, you know. So anyhow, I always wanted to sing because I really love singing. And even though the Russian music was not necessarily my favorite at the beginning, so I just really loved the name that they came up with, Dostoevsky, which was a wordplay on Dostoevsky, obviously.
Yes, which is a Russian author. Am I correct?
Which is a reality. He wrote kind of like the Idiot. It's one of them that I actually did, you know. So, and I think the funny thing about the Dostoevskys, my interview was, so why did you want to come? Did you see a singer? And I hadn't even heard them sing. I just simply said, I'll just love the wordplay and say, so they say, you can come, you know. So.
What do they say? Joy is when you have a very low bar or something. something like that. But that actually, I mean, I saw you guys perform in Moolambar, I don't know, a month or so ago.
Yeah.
And the sound is pretty fabulous, actually. Like the choral, what's not called choreography, but the choral.
The arrangement, you know.
It's really great.
Yeah, we do have some really good singers there. So, as Andrew, our choir master, used to say, there's about three groups, you know. So there are some people who have really good voices, and others have okay voices, and others are really good company. So.
Sorry, that's funny.
I always thought myself of the letter part of it, you know. So even though I have a big voice, you know, but I'm not as well trained as some of the others. And there are some of our members there are just really fantastic musicians and singers, really. So that's, and we've worked on it, and I think the whole choir has become much, much better when we first started. So
you know, it seems like you have a good camaraderie, you know, a good you get on well from.
Yeah, we like each other. So, and what I liked about it is also, and it's actually an interesting part, because it is a men's group, if you like it.
Yeah.
But people always wanted, in my professional life, always wanted me to also run men's group, which I was always a little bit hesitant about, because I always sometimes thinking about, like, where you sit together as men and you have a talking stick and you start to talk. Either you have too much structure or you have too little structure, and then people are just basically talking about just making jokes and not actually necessarily sharing themselves. And what's been beautiful, even though it's not a men's group, it's a men's choir, but we do like each other, and there is also room for us to talk about, share about what we're going through in life, and we also offer support to one another. So, which is great, because we have doctors, we've got lawyers, we have a law issue that you can, or we have a builder, we've got carpenters, you know, psychotherapists. You know,
so it's a bit of a networking group as well. And you're all in Northern Rivers in New South Wales, is that correct?
That's and I think it probably could only come, a thing like this can only have come out of our environment here in the Northern Rivers, because there's a... They are actually they're all lovely and sophisticated men, you know. Mm-hmm. So we're all professionals. We all do our own life, and we're active in that sense, you know. Yeah. So there's a lot of maturity in the men. Mm-hmm. And also it's a real lovely decency and support, but also, what's lovely, because we also do something creatively together.
Mm, yeah.
So I think for men, it is really important to if we as men want to actually have more intimacy with one another, I think it's much better to have a process that we work together. And the other stuff, the more interpersonal issues, they get handled. It's not in the forefront, but it is the support there. And I guess what they also do say, singing and learning how to listen to one another and listen to harmonize with another person, it just really helps us to work on the cooperative spirit, because we need to take feedback from one another. We need to listen. We need to harmonize. We need to create support and not go into a competitiveness, particularly in a choir. We need to the whole is bigger than the individuals, and that's a lovely experience.
Yeah, I mean, your MC does, Mark, I think his name is quite, well, he's the MC, so he is out the front. But I sense from watching the show that it's not really, no one's the star. It's very Russian. The communists. No, it's, you know, it's very...
We're Bolsheviks, you know?
Yeah, so that's... And I really liked... I think the character development of each person, they've kind of, I don't know if, I know one of them, one of the people I know, Adrian, he really is performing in a way that's nothing like his personality. So would you say that the other people in the choral are doing the same? Have they kind of taken on, you know, the way they stand and different sort of...
Yeah, well, we're working on it. It's that's true. I think we try to be at the beginning, we try to present ourselves as Russians who don't speak any English, really. Mm. So we were just straight-faced and kind of like, and when Mark would sing, we wouldn't even laugh at his jokes, which was sometimes really, really hard to repress this.
Yeah, but I mean, you may have been Russians that have drunk a lot of vodka before you came on stage as well, and then you wouldn't be standing there very still.
Yeah, so there's actually a whole story. We are basically a kolkhoz, if you like it, a group of monks, people who came over to Malingrad, so Malambimbi, we call it Malingrad.
Oh, okay.
And we all work in a typewriter factory together as a kolkhoz.
And that's good. I didn't know that.
Because I have this fantastic old hat from my mother, which was in her old fur hat. So
yes, that's right.
So we also have certain characters. So I'm basically a woodcutter and an old trapper in Siberia. So that's my background, right? So we do could develop somehow
a character. Great. That's great because it gives light and shade within the group, you know.
Yeah. So in that, when it does, some people have very sophisticated characters that they have organized.
Yeah.
And others less so, but at least we try to sing it with the Russian spirit. And look, when we actually performed last three, four weeks ago at the Sydney Opera House, we got standing ovation.
Really?
Yeah, Mark asked everybody, so who's here from Russia? And they were probably up. It was hard for us to see because of the lamplight, you know. Mm. So, but there were lots of, probably 20% were Russians. Mm. And they were, you could see these people there crying and singing along and clapping. And then there were some of the old guys who were just sitting there just quivering mouth.
Oh my God.
I've got something in my eye.
So that's amazing. So the songs that you're singing, they are Russian songs.
There are Russian songs, you know. So that's. Right. So, we sing Russian. So I'll bite with a probably Australian accent. And that's, you know. But they can understand it and they. Look, the thing is, it's probably something that we don't know about Russia, that they didn't have the same exposure of through the media, so and entertainment, particularly during the communist time. Mm. So there was not a lot of entertainment. So people entertained at home. So families and the clan come together, and they would sing these songs because that's all they could do. So they would drink a lot of alcohol, usually vodka, and then everybody sings, you know. And so some of the songs are old ballads, and some of them we also have some Christian hymns in there from Rachmaninoff, so which are beautiful. Mm. They're more from the Gnostic church, and then also obviously some of the old songs from the Leninist and Stalinist back around, you know, so the Red Army is the strongest, that kind of stuff. But these are songs that they all know and they all sing along with, and the way Russians sing, they sing full-heartedly. It's about really, you need to almost have an operatic voice in order to sing that. So
very moving for the Russians in the audience, especially the older people, I would imagine.
And the success we talked about, I talked with Mark about it the other day, and I think why also people who are not Russian can relate to it is because we demonstrate the cooperative spirit of men. Mm. And I think particularly also women love to see that men can be in their manliness, but still have the sensitivity of listening to one another and to actually create beauty together.
Yes. Yes. And it's a joyous experience. Like to the listener listening to this podcast, you may think it's a dour experience, but it's not at all. It's full of joy and laughter and light, and there's bits of comedy there and some choreography with people lifting the singer up. And I think one guy does a Russian dance. And so it's got quite a lot of elements that.
Yeah, look, perhaps, we try to create a good show, and I sometimes describe it as the Marx Brothers meet communism.
Yeah, that's funny. Yeah, no, it's a really and you had three shows, was it, at the Opera House? Was that
two? We did two shows. You know, we did one in Moranbah as to get warmed up.
Yeah.
And then we did two shows there, and we are about to go next week. Fingers crossed, despite COVID and all of that, that we might end up go to Melbourne, and we have got four concerts.
Wow. Yeah. How often do you? I mean, obviously during COVID you couldn't perform, but prior to COVID, how often did you perform? Was it fairly regular or a couple of times a year?
Well, we always did a few times a year, four or five times.
Yeah.
So a lot of the time we did Woodford. We were also invited to Wombat.
Oh, Adelaide.
In Adelaide, so.
Did you go to Adelaide?
Yeah. Oh, that was fantastic. They flew us down and put us up at the Hilton and we sang in front of 8,000 people, you know.
Wow, so, that's fantastic.
It's fantastic.
Because it's a voluntary, it's not a paid gig, right?
No. We're amateurs, you know.
Yeah, amateurs. Yeah, so that's great. And I believe you got invited to go to Russia. Was that correct?
Yeah, no, that's how we became really famous here in Australia. So we were supposed to go down to Russia to sing on the Red Square for the 75-year anniversary of the victory over the fascists. My boys, basically, you know. So let's not mention the war.
Okay. Moving along.
So moving along from that, you know.
You were going to go to Russia, like you were invited by the Russians.
Yes, and then we weren't able to do it. So then the Russian TV approached us and see whether we could do something online. And so we sang one of their most famous war songs. It's really an anti-war song. It's the tanks are rolling over the fields of Gokliatha. And basically it's a very uplifting. So there we are in a tank, you know, and the Germans, the fascists are throwing mortar at us and I'm getting shot and the whole tank explodes and my friends are lying crushed under the tank and a telegram goes to the parents and to the future wife and they will not have the son. And it's basically... Yeah. It's however a very moving song.
Yeah,
and obviously that's what it was like, you know. So we sang that, and the Russian TV did a fantastic job of editing it, and so we became the stars in Russia. So it went viral. So it was basically shown on all the TV channels, and that what was beautiful, and so they all loved it. And on online, it went viral overnight. And everything.
I remember seeing that. Like, I obviously didn't know you. I didn't know that choral group, but I saw that somewhere on the news or something.
Yes, and then the Russians also. There was a Russian choir who then gave a intercultural reflection and also put together the song Waltzing Matilda.
Oh, beautiful. Wow.
And they sang Waltzing Matilda very differently than I've ever heard it before, because they sang it with the Waltzing Matilda. So much more with the whole Russian pathos that they can bring across. And it was just, I mean, they were a much better choir than we were, really. Mm. So, and it was beautiful. And however, that intercultural exchange then also was picked up by Australian Stories, and they did a story around it. And so that's where then we became also then famous here in Australia. So where we at one stage even had offers that Hollywood wanted to buy the rights, make a movie. So of us.
So what happened with that? Nothing?
Well, look, we decided, we talked about it, and obviously we weren't going to be be the actors in the movie. Mm-hmm. So they were going to get other actors. So I was thinking maybe Russell Crowe should maybe take my part.
from his Gladiator days, right?
Or maybe Hemsworth, you know. So.
or perhaps a Beautiful Mind. Maybe that would suit you better.
Yeah, no, that's something like that. Anyhow, so I wasn't so open to it, and most of us, we weren't really that. Mm-hmm. Well, we brought it for a vote, so we vote these things, you know. Yeah. We discussed it, we voted, you know, and I thought, look, if the movie is great, then people will be disappointed when they see us. If it's not so good, then it'll be embarrassing, you know. So there wasn't that much of an upside there, I personally thought, you know. So, but look, it's something that we discussed, and we also thought that our story had not finished yet. So there's more to come there. So we're not quite sure.
So has anything gone wrong ever? Like, have you ever had? Because I know, you know, I have a performing background, and I quite like it when things go wrong. At the time, it's not so great, but it can be quite a hoot, you know, recovering from a situation. Has anything happened, or you prefer not to say?
Well, look, apart from sometimes the odd, really bad pitches. So,
oh, yes.
So no, but fortunately we haven't had that many mishaps, you know. So and because we're quite a loose kind of people, we're very there are some people that are just hilarious. We all have a good sense of humor. Yeah. So even if something goes wrong, it's somehow there are other people who can, because it's also who we are. We are we're loose. We're it doesn't have to be perfect in that sense. You know,
and so. That is the joy about quite a large group, is you can, you know, come in and rescue any sort of situation. Mm. Whereas if you've got a cast of four people or something, it's much harder, especially if one gets caught in traffic or something is late, like that, right? Yeah. Then with your situation, it's much easier, much harder for a small ensemble. Yeah.
Well, we've got 28 people there, so and not always do we have full house, you know. Mm. A lot of the time we do, but because we're all really quite dedicated, so which is lovely to me, you know.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Wow, fantastic. It's a really good choir. It's a good experience and very unique. And I think that's why it's captured people's hearts or imaginations, is because there's nothing like it really in Australia at all.
No, that's true. And there's nothing, I think, for the Russians, where there is an intercultural reflection, like not like America, for example, you know. So we all have been exposed to American cultural imperialism, if you like it.
Mm. You know? So that's, you know, that's very interesting, because you know, it's like some countries, there's a undercurrent of negativity towards that country, and certain countries have been shown very badly in movies, especially Hollywood movies. And so this is good because it's a cultural breakdown, like it breaks down the conceptions a little, you know.
A little bit, you know. So and what's astounding always is also that it really has an appeal for also people who haven't been exposed to any form of Russian culture, you know. But as you mentioned, as I think Andrew, our choir master, he's a bit of a genius. I really have to say, he's such a lovely guy. Sometimes, like with choir masters, you think that they can be quite critical, and you have to work on that and on this pitch and all of that. So he's incredibly just allowing and super positive and supportive. So it has created an environment where interpersonal competitiveness or judgment or criticism is just not really, it's not the way we run things.
And, well, and I that's think fantastic. Sorry. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so he has empathy and nurturing. So he's that sort of choir master as opposed to,
yeah,
you know, whacking you over the knuckles. If you...
That's right. Sometimes we have to tell, give us some critical feedback, constructive yes. critical feedback,
yes,
you know.
Yes.
So, and so we prompt him for that, you know. So and so we're... Well, we all like to improve, and I think that's the lovely thing.
Yeah.
Doing a choir experience with people who are also committed to excellence. We don't plan claim to be perfect, but we are all in a mindset where we like to give.
Mm. Oh, you know, yeah, and I think
all of us.
The energy that comes across is very generous. Mm. There's no doubt about that. You know, it's very generous. Have you ever had any calls to tour abroad besides the guest appearance in Russia, like New Zealand or America or Europe?
Yeah, look, we were thinking of also going to WOMAD New Zealand, and there was also talk at one stage to go to New York because there are also lots of Russians there, and I think it would translate quite well into Russia, into New York. And there was talk wanting to go over to the Edinburgh Festival.
Film Festival. That would be fantastic.
Yeah, but the good thing is also we have Glenn on team who used to run the Mullen Music Festival.
Oh, okay.
And so we have quite a few people who are, who've been professionals in the music industry and who basically have good contacts. So that's probably also one of the reasons why we've been able to get these gigs, and when you have good gigs, it just basically focuses the energy.
Yeah, and you know, at the end of the day, you're enjoying it. The audience is enjoying it. It doesn't really matter about all that sort of stuff. You know, it goes where it goes, right?
Yeah, exactly.
And, yeah. Oh, Volker, thank you so much for sharing that story and just your experience with the Dostoevsky and the joy it brings you. It's beautiful in your mum's hat.
That's exactly right. And as Mark always says, we're here to sing you songs of suffering and pain in order to fill your heart with love and joy.
Well, thankfully we can't understand the words. That's got to be a plus. So thank you so much for sharing your story on the Boffler podcast. And until next time, dear listeners, go well. And don't forget, if you've got a story to tell, go to the Instagram page, Boffler Podcast, and send me a message, because we'd love to hear your story. Everyone's story is so valuable, and it could be anything from something like singing in a choir to nearly drowning in a ship, which we've had both of those now. So go well, live in joy. Ciao.